We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Big name wide receivers in new places. Keenan Allen and Calvin Ridley are who we're going to talk about today on Stealing Bananas. I'm Ben Gretsch. You can find my newsletter at bengretsch.substack.com. With me, as always, is Sean Siegel. You can find all of his great work over at RotoViz. Sean, we've been breaking down the free agency stuff in depth on our last few pods, giving ourselves room to really get into some of the surrounding topics like we like to do on Stealing Bananas. Our last show focused almost solely on the Chiefs, on Marquise Brown, on the impact on Rashee Rice, on their potential to add another receiver in the draft, a lot of those elements. This time around, we're going to focus on the other two late wide receiver moves, or at least late in the week, that we didn't get to in last week's episodes where we hit on a lot of the early week stuff. That was the Keenan Allen trade to the Bears, which also has impacts back on the Chargers, who now have no receivers. They literally don't have a receiver on their roster. Don't look at it. Don't fact check that. That is true. Calvin Ridley leaving the Jaguars, who we talked a lot about as it related to Gabe Davis coming to town, but we weren't sure what Ridley might do or where he might land. He lands in Tennessee, which is interesting. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins there. Lot to discuss for the Titans, for young Will Levis, what it will mean for them with a new coaching staff in 2024. How you doing?
Good. I'm excited for Caleb Williams and all of the firepower that he's going to have. I am sad for him because he's going to have the offensive coordinator who thought the best use of Jackson Smith and Jigba was to have him walk 3 feet and stand next to a defender. But, I mean, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, I mean, you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. I mean, is this now the best wide receiver group in the NFL, even though obviously Allen is getting way up there in years?
It's a good group, and I think it's interesting from a complementary skill set perspective, something we've talked about before. I'm a little bit concerned about how it all fits together, I would say. Keenan Allen is really good at drawing volume. And that's been true his entire career. It's been true across coordinators, across quarterbacks. They're going to have, in all likelihood, a rookie quarterback under center for the entirety of the year. And so everyone's going to be working with a new quarterback. It's not one of the situations where because he's the newcomer, the other guys have already worked with this quarterback before. Keenan Allen's coming off of his a career high in targets per route run last year. His best yards per route run since 2018. He was efficient on that. Strong rebound after a strong rebound in 2022. So I guess not really a rebound in 2023, just took it to another level and ran more routes. He was banged up some in 2022, but he showed us he was still very good that year. I think his addition isn't great for DJ Moore. We talked a little bit on the last show about how mobile quarterbacks can influence like targets per route run and per route run metrics because they will scramble a decent number of dropbacks. They might get sacked at a higher rate. No quarterback more so than Justin Fields, who takes sacks and scrambles at an incredibly high rate. That meant that the Chicago Bears' per route run numbers were muted last year because a lot of dropbacks didn't even turn into pass attempts. So a lot of routes didn't have a target at all or any yards gained or anything in the passing game. Higher percentage than any other quarterback you'll find maybe ever And as a result, DJ Moore's per route run stats aren't going to look as strong as some of the others around the league. And yet they were a lot stronger than the other players in this passing game, other than one Cole Kmet, who also was surprisingly pretty strong and looked like a really interesting draft pick to me in 2024, because I felt like on a per route run basis, he had a little bit of a breakout in 2023. In year four, we know it takes a little longer for tight ends. He was a 21-year-old rookie back in 2020 when he came out. Sean, you loved his profile. We've talked a lot about him over the years. Maybe not as big of an early career explosion as we would have expected. But last year, again, takes this step forward. Had some decent numbers in 2021 as well. But within the context of this offense, his step forward in some of the per route run numbers for me, the targets per route run, the yards per route run was even more significant, because a lot of his routes were, again, on plays where maybe Justin Fields took a sack. So he was really interesting and becomes less so because, you know, I'm talking about a player that I'm now less interested in because of Keenan Allen's addition. There's going to be overlap in ADOT between those two. There's some overlap in ADOT with DJ Moore and what he does well. He's kind of a guy who can win at all depths, but I think this maybe pushes him to a little bit more of a vertical role at times. I don't know. I'm curious how you think it fits together. It's a good group. Those three guys are all going to be really good together. It's obviously now one of the best situations that a number one pick has ever stepped into, because typically these teams aren't very good. But he's going to step into a situation where Keenan Allen is a very, very good target earning number one. DJ Moore is a very, very good, more efficiency-based number one as well, in my opinion. Not as big of a target earner, but he's going to be explosive with the ball in his hands and those things. And that's why I think those two are very complementary of each other. And Cole Kmet looks like an ascending young tight end.
And I always like to check out the pass location grid on the player stat page when we, you know, have these questions about how complementary are the players, or just, you know, trying to figure out how they've been used in the past, beyond the fact that Ben, you and I, you know, watch all of these games. So we have a sense of, like, generally speaking, what it looks like. But then you go in and you dive into the numbers, and sometimes, you know, it's kind of eye-opening. And one of the things for Keenan Allen is that despite this sense that he's this, you know, sort of underneath dynamic player, he's been very effective to the deep parts of the field, the 15 plus as well, in terms of being able to actually convert some of those targets and then generate yards from them. But I mean, the area that he just stands out, you know, so completely is that intermediate area. And to all parts of the field, the left, the middle, the right, he's been able to get to the deep right very effectively over a multi-year sample. So I think that part's interesting. And then you contrast it with DJ Moore, who really was just sensational last season, lined up on the left side of the field there. His intermediate yardage, over 400 yards, which, if you're not used to kind of breaking that down, if in one of the sections, you know, left, right, center, in a specific depth, that intermediate depth, someone going over 400 yards is, I mean, just doesn't happen. It's absolutely insane, right? And you mentioned that because of Justin Fields' profile and how he's going to take a lot of sacks, he's also going to scramble for a lot of yards, that is going to hurt him. There's also this element that Justin Fields was such a magical fit specifically for DJ Moore, that last season Moore averaged just under 12 adjusted yards per attempt on targets from Fields, right? 103 targets there. And to give a little bit of a contrast, we know how much he struggled the previous season, right? His 47 targets from Baker Mayfield, who just obviously re-signs to the big contract there in Tampa Bay, 3.8. Right, 3.8. Sam Darnold, who, you know, may be in the mix to do something for the Vikings, 154 targets from him in the previous season, and you get a 6.5. Right, this element of having gotten so many targets from guys like Kyle Allen, 115, Teddy Bridgewater, 102. I mean, you're talking about him playing his career with the Panthers with passers who couldn't get him the ball. And I think everybody's familiar with that, but when you actually go in and look and see all these targets that he's gotten, it's both demoralizing to think what happened to the early portion of his career. It's encouraging how electric he was with Fields. I think that we have to recalibrate our expectations for rookies or for how he's going to be with a rookie, even if that rookie is elite. And the fun part about drafting any Bears is just that you have this massive range of outcomes because you have the rookie QB. You and I did a couple shows on this last summer talking about the risks that you have when an offense is going to be helmed by the rookie. And so we talked about CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson. And I mean, they hit obviously basically every super outlier outcome you could get, with CJ Stroud being one of the greatest rookies of all time, with Bryce Young putting his name in that mix to be one of the biggest busts of all time as a number one overall selection, who, you know, was worse than guys like Zach Wilson. And then you look at Anthony Richardson just basically not getting to play. So the risk that we run with the fantasy football project in general is simply that we overlearn the lessons of the previous year. How you see the Bears is going to depend a lot on which lesson you're overlearning, or if you are, because I think the tendency for most of us is going to be to think, well, Caleb Williams could be CJ Stroud. And if that's the case, then we're talking about a potential step forward for DJ Moore once he no longer has to deal with Justin Fields, not realizing that Justin Fields had been fantastic for him. We're thinking Keenan Allen can replicate what he did with the Chargers, and that this offense will end up being very concentrated with kind of the three guys that you mentioned. There are risks beyond that, that it won't be that concentrated, and or that you're not going to get the Stroud type of performance, and almost any other type of rookie performance is going to make these guys difficult in fantasy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, hang out with friends, read a book. So many options. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The best way to squeeze some more into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make that a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I began therapy in early 2023, and I found it has helped me set boundaries, learn positive coping skills, and add a lot to my day-to-day, and some of that being prioritization, to be able to focus on what is important at that time rather than trying to focus on everything that is going on in my life at that exact moment, which leads you to not be in the moment because you're thinking about stuff that is out of your control. And having that awareness has helped me throughout my day today. And that is something that I have found to be very positive for me. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rotoviz today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rotoviz.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think all that is really well said. I agree with essentially every word of that. My feeling for Allen was that it's certainly a downgrade, and even a downgrade from the previous downgrade that he's had this offseason, which was the coaching change, was already going to probably be a pretty clear downgrade for him. But I think you would still want him in the Chargers' low-volume offense with less competition than the wider range of outcomes in the Bears' offense, but with also more competition, I think, for targets. Keenan Allen's one of the types that competition for targets is a dubious concept because he's going to earn his looks. But when you have a rookie quarterback that's going to cap things in certain ways, much the way that I was just talking about with scramblers, and you obviously just hit on this as well, there's certain profiles that are going to cap the overall volume. And then you also have other good players. There just is naturally an inability for everybody to get the looks that they might get in a different style of offense. Let's put it that way.
And I mean, these two guys were number 5 and number 7 last year in Whopper, which, I mean, that doesn't necessarily tell you everything you need to know. But when we're talking about the size of the pie that each of those guys individually eat and then what it means for each other, it's just very difficult to end up with the same type of volume when both of those guys are together. It is something, again, where I think you have to give the Bears huge credit. And if you're trying to make sure that your rookie QB doesn't endure what Young endured last year, giving him these weapons is a fantastic place to start.
So this is the very much the anti-Young in terms of the surrounding cast. This is, yeah, I agree with you on that as well. You definitely have to applaud it. Keenan Allen moving to Chicago leaves a huge hole in Los Angeles.
But I think this is because they've watched the film and they're like, Quentin Johnston can get it done.
Right.
We're all in.
Yeah, they're ready to go on Quentin Johnston. It leaves behind Quentin Johnston. It leaves behind Josh Palmer, who I've never been a big fan of. Sean, I don't think you are either. I think that's a stealing bananas agreement, strong agreement there. But set a career high in targets per route run this year and in yards per target. Both elements of the yards per route run profile was better than he's been in either of his first two seasons. Maybe showed a little bit of improvement. Maybe it was a step forward. The unfortunate thing is it's still not a strong body of work for his whole career. And for his whole career, he's had an elite quarterback, bottom of the barrel competition. And he did again this year. I mean, he played alongside Quentin Johnston, who we're joking about was obviously a pretty big bust and an unfortunate outcome in his rookie year. And he's also been in a higher volume offense that is now going to be more run heavy. I think you can be interested or intrigued by Josh Palmer in a way that in the past I've been pretty adamant against him, but he's not probably going to be your star in a low volume Greg Roman run first offense where they went and got Gus Edwards. And yet the Chargers pick, what is it, 5th or 6th overall? Basically, everybody is mocking that to now be a wide receiver. As soon as that trade went down, Keenan Allen moved. Mike Williams has walked. He hasn't signed anywhere as of this recording, but it's not going to be back with the Chargers in all likelihood. He only ran about 100 routes last year, so one of the reasons there was, you know, I'm saying such little target competition again last year. You had Keenan Allen dominating everything, but basically no one else really even running a lot of routes, which is another reason why Quentin Johnston really struggling to earn volume in addition to struggling to be efficient is all very bad because they needed him to step up in a way that he wasn't able to. The Chargers, for most of Justin Herbert's career, Sean, we've talked about how the Chargers needed to get him a good third weapon because Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were having a hard time staying healthy, and there was nothing behind them. They finally, this past offseason, used a first-round pick on Quentin Johnston, a wide receiver, to try to address that a little bit. They run into injuries again this year, particularly with Mike Williams. Quentin Johnston busts. Then they let Williams and Keenan Allen go. Not necessarily saying that's a horrible move considering the way they want to run their offense and how old those guys are and some of those things. I do think trading Keenan Allen for as little as they traded him for doesn't make a ton of sense, but they're now left in a situation. Some of that was obviously cap related. They don't have a ton of money, but they're now left in a situation where they really do have nobody. I mean, Gerald Everett's gone as well. Austin Eckler's gone. These are the guys that have gotten all of their targets in the last few years. It's Joshua Palmer. It's Quentin Johnston. Some rookie is going to step into this situation, even in a very run-heavy offense, and have Justin Herbert and basically no one to compete with for targets. If that's Malik Nabers, how high does he go?
It's interesting when you look at Malik Nabers, because so many of the mocks right now believe that this is going to be a trade for the Vikings to get up there and take J.J. McCarthy. You would think, based on the other elements at play, that if the Chargers actually do that, that they're going to give up Malik Nabers. Now, maybe it's a situation where they're just as happy, or they're, you know, close to enough as happy when you consider the extra trade capital that they would get as a result. You know, maybe they would just take Odunze or Bowers or even Brian Thomas and feel like the downgrade is not enough to make that be an issue. But post free agency, I kind of mocked out every single skill position group in the NFL to see where I thought these rookies were going to go. And there are two teams, Ben, who the RB1 and the wide receiver one would appear to be rookies. Those teams are the Chargers and the Giants, and they're sitting there in that 5-6 range in the draft. And that's going to be fascinating to track, you know, as this develops. Nabers isn't the only guy that you would necessarily be considering building your offense around, but it's exciting, I think, when you're drafting these guys this early. And it's probably the case, although, you know, there's nothing to stop the Chargers from saying, you know, we'd like to move up for Marvin Harrison as opposed to move back, right? We get a sense of what everybody is doing in their mocks and then start to feel like there's inevitability to it. And then you realize even the guys who have sources and are trying to do it right before the draft don't know what's going to happen. So we want to keep that in mind. But when you look at this Chargers team, one of the things that you liked about Quentin Johnston last season, I say, you know, the kind of universal you, is that, I mean, he was going to get to play with Justin Herbert. That turned out not to be enough for him. But these young rookie receivers, if they can come out and play, is a situation where they could step into the type of massive volume that the ADPs for Harrison and Nabers already completely and totally imply.
Do you buy that? So I mentioned a lot of the mocks are mocking this as a receiver. That's the ones that aren't doing the trade. I have seen the ones that are having him trade. I guess I don't buy it, because I feel like the Chargers have such a clear need at receiver, and this is so clearly a strong receiver range. They don't seem like as much of a trade back fit to me, but the insiders would know better than me. I know the Vikings want to come up, but I don't know that the Chargers are going to want to come down when this is such a strong range of the draft for such a clear need for them. Do you buy that they might move back here?
I think that they're going to build for the long term, and they're going to build out this team to where it has so much talent in the trenches. You've got the foundation QB. You're going to end up 3 years from now where they have so much draft capital. They're going to have fixed all of these different cap issues. And so I don't know that they're going to lean into this very first pick as being the one that has to fix the problems. But Nabers is a guy who looks like an extraordinary prospect and, you know, would probably be the wide receiver one in most drafts. A little bit of this comes down to, you know, what's the gap between that player and your Washington Husky star? What's the gap between that player and Brock Bowers, who, you know, I would argue...
But no one has Odunze falling to 11. I mean, Odunze is going to be gone before 11.
Well, I mean, he can get into that 9, 10, 11 range.
Yeah.
And so maybe you have to move up a little bit. I mean, one of the things is just for both him and Bowers to be gone, which I think you could argue would make sense, you have to have teams ignoring the other positions that are also important, that are also needs.
Yeah.
And so,
and if the Vikings are trading up, it's another quarterback and it's pushing everyone down. That, I mean, dude, if the Chargers trade back and Odunze lands there, then I get to just draft a ton of Odunze. So that, I mean, that I'll be excited.
that would be awesome. I mean, there's a clear cut massive tier break between the 106 and the 107 right now in fantasy superflex rookie drafts in terms of projecting it. I do think that there's a possibility that by the time those drafts are actually happening, that the 107, the 108 end up being fantastic picks as well. Obviously, we're going to have a lot to discuss with the profiles of some of these rookie QBs beyond Caleb Williams. Then as we kind of close it out today, we talked a lot about Calvin Ridley as it related to the contrast between what he brought to the Jaguars and what Gabe Davis is going to bring to the Jaguars. But how does that then shift when we're talking about Calvin Ridley and being dropped into this? I mean, I don't want to say hilarious in a really mean-spirited way, but I mean, we now have a Tennessee Titans offense that is Will Levis, Tony Pollard, Tyjae Spears, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and Treylon Burks. We've got overpaid, redundant running back situation. We've got a QB situation where they need to pull the plug and actually go for a guy this year, as opposed to another year of proving that a guy who's never been good can actually play QB. And then we have a vastly overpaid 29-year-old. We've got a guy in Hopkins who is a problem teammate, according to a variety of different things, and also is starting to look washed. And then, very sadly, we have a first-round bust in Treylon Burks. I think you got to give the Titans a lot of credit for trying, right? And not just sitting around and thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if we're better? It's hard for me to see this offense and think that there's any kind of actual functionality to it with the pieces that they now have in place.
That's kind of where I'm at as well. I don't really want anything to do with the Titans. And then you have a first-year head coach in Brian Callahan who – is young. We like the young, offensive-minded coaching hires. Comes from the Bengals. They've had some success. I think they've done some things schematically that have been forward-thinking for the most part. And yet, I guess I'll just say that he's maybe not the most inspired version of that type of hire that I'm typically very excited about. But I could very well be wrong. I think, you know, he fits that type of group that you want to be in on. I think the hope is that he's going to be able to help Will Levis develop, but we did not see a lot of positive notes from, I mean, it's as you're sitting there naming all those players, it's like, that's a lot of players to need to be successful that rely on Will Levis to not completely tank the offense. Because if the quarterback's just not good, that's an issue. And that's an issue for the Bears as well. If Caleb Williams is just not good, you know, and we aren't always certain what the way these guys are going to play out. The Caleb Williams hype has been very, very high. I think we all expect him to be very good, but he could have a really poor rookie season in a way that makes the Bear. We talked about that being a really wide range. It could make the Bears situation poor. Hopkins for me is interesting still in that he was very inefficient after the target, but he still earned targets per route at a really high rate. He's one of these guys where the targets per route run thing actually is, I think, really useful to dig into. He was actually at his highest targets per route run since 2017. Again, limited competition. We always throw that caveat in. But he's also been in a similar range, about 25%. He was at 20, just over 26% in four of his previous five seasons. And so five of his previous six have been these really strong seasons. He looks like a guy who's still kind of chugging along and earning volume. Just the efficiency wasn't necessarily as strong, in part because you're talking about the quarterback and those things. But him turning 32 in June and Calvin Ridley being somebody who turns 30, I believe it's in like December. He's going into his age 30 season technically, but he's probably going to play most of the year in – yeah, it's December. So he's playing most of the year at age 29. But Ridley – didn't earn volume particularly well last year, was behind Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram per route, basically tied with Zay Jones. ADP was looking at him like the clear number one in this offense that was going to separate from the others, and it wasn't going to be spread as much spread as it was in 2022, and the exact opposite was the case. It was spread. He didn't dominate. He didn't assert himself as an alpha target earner in this Jacksonville offense last year. There's people that have mentioned that his usage was not optimal and some of those things. But when you go and look at the rest of his career as well, and yes, he had a lot of time off, but you go back and look, and he's really only been a dominant target earner one season, and that was 2020. He had a great year. 2021, he started just under 200 routes. He started that year earning volume at a really high rate as well, and then that's the year that was the suspension shortened season. He misses 2022. If you go back to prior to 2020, you can also excuse that a little bit and say he was playing alongside Julio Jones, but he was in a very average range I mean, even for a number two, it wasn't a dominant number two. We see young number twos earn more volume than Calvin Ridley did in those iterations of the Falcons offense, especially considering that was a drop back passing offense, Matt Ryan based offense, right? Like I could point to like a Jalen Waddle. That guy has done, obviously that's a little bit more of a concentrated offense, but has done way more than what Ridley did early in his career on a per route basis. Even like a Devonta Smith has been better as a secondary receiver in a mobile quarterback offense than what Ridley did early in his career with the Falcons. What I'm arguing is that we don't have the profile of target earning ability that justifies, I think, the profile and the deference that Ridley gets from the fantasy community as a target earner. And he's a little older than people realize. He's going to be 30 in December. And DeAndre Hopkins maybe isn't fading yet in that regard. So if Hopkins is still there in Tennessee, he might not be. He's, as you mentioned, kind of disgruntled, and maybe there's, you know, he gets moved at some point. Maybe that's part of why Ridley was brought on. But if these guys are competing for targets, I'm betting on the 32-year-old Hopkins before I'm betting on the 30-year-old Ridley based on their profiles, or at least the age 32 versus age 30 Ridley. I talked about how when their birthdays are, it's 2.5 years, not 2 years. So to be fair to Ridley, but I would be more concerned about Ridley. And then as you think about the Will Levis effect and not having a reliable quarterback in place and these concerns about the offense, I don't want to be making bets further down the list on guys that I don't think are the number one kind of ability to earn volume. I don't even necessarily want to be betting on Hopkins, but if I had to pick one or the other, wanting to pick Hopkins, I mean, that tells you where I'm at on Ridley. I don't see Ridley being somebody whose profile justifies betting on him in a situation as volatile as Tennessee appears to be.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
That's a great way to break it down. One of the things with Hopkins that we probably do need to mention is similar to your point with Rice on the previous show, which is that the competition there, when you're talking about being able to demand targets, is so weak. You think about Westbrook Ikhine, Chris Moore, Treylon Burks, none of those guys, you know, even like 65% route guys, so they don't, I mean, they're not good enough to even necessarily play. And then when they do play, their ability to command targets is very, very limited. And yet then the funny thing is that as a group, they did average more yards per target than DeAndre Hopkins did. And that's despite the fact that his ADOT last season is in a pretty good place when you consider the moves that the way defenses have schemed, you know, have forced some of these passing offenses. So I think there are concerns with him that Calvin Ridley will hurt him. And yet, you know, I'm looking here at the price on Ridley going from that 65 range when things open in February all the way up to about 56, you know, reaching, you know, 55 even right before the contract is signed. And now he's headed back down into the 60s. That price level doesn't seem like it makes sense with the profile that he has. Now, it is interesting here when we talk about the Jaguars and what they, you know, arguably did to him. And, you know, I reference some of the things that I see from them, which is this element where he's essentially being triple teamed on these routes because the sideline is also in play. And as soon as he signs that contract, he goes from, you know, raving about how they were so close to these connections with Trevor Lawrence to saying, well, maybe the Titans will let me run across the field, which, you know, some of that is sour grapes, but, you know, you pull up his pass location chart there, and I don't know for any like real receiver. Now, obviously, these super niche guys, you haven't, but in the intermediate middle last year, Ben, he had 3 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards. So at least according to the way that we chart the stuff or the providers that we use to present this information, 3 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards in 5 to 14,
5 to 14
in the middle.
Zero yards. What I was going to say. I was
when he says, like, at least they'll let me run across the middle. I mean, there's some justification for him to be tweeting that.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and I was going to ask for clarification is, you know, how you guys define intermediate. 5 to 15 is a range that you would expect a high volume receiver like Calvin Ridley to have had a reception in the middle of the field. It's a pretty big range.
So you want to get into the situation as a team where you're not relying on 30-year-old receivers who I think are clearly on the downward. Because one of the things here is that even if these guys play decently in 2024, they're not going to be around for Will Levis if he's the answer. There's no way that all of these guys can be the answer in concert to build this team. And that's despite the fact that Ridley, you know, is on a contract that does take him somewhat into the future with them. And one of the things that you then see is the kind of downstream effects of missing on your pick. Because with Treylon Burks almost certainly not being the guy. Now, there have been extenuating circumstances. He's been hurt. He's gotten probably, you know, poor play calling and scheme for him. He's gotten poor quarterback play. But you have to be able to show more than what he has demonstrated through these first 2 years for people to think you've got any chance. And at the very least, what we have with Ridley and Hopkins, even if they're not successful in their own right, I mean, they've now almost completely stepped on any opportunity for Burks to emerge. And so I give him credit for going out there and participating in free agency and trying to make some moves. This team, despite wanting to be a more forward-thinking type of organization, they have a lot of problems in the way that this offense is constructed. And, you know, one of the things that was fun about watching Will Levis is that he's a competitor. He's a big-time athlete. There's always that very slim possibility that he could translate some of those things into, you know, being a poor man's Josh Allen as he gets more reps. But it's a pretty narrow path to that. This should be a fun team to watch, though, because you do have some legitimate players out there now. And even though none of them are perfectly positioned to help each other out, they don't have like clear-cut excuses. And so we're going to get to see the Titans answer some of the questions about these individual players in 2024.
Unless the offense is just so bad that we're making excuses for all of them, which might end up happening. I mean, it's possible that Will Levis is just like a bottomed out option, but hopefully he can provide. I mean, his willingness to push the ball downfield, some of his athleticism, some of the arm strength stuff that he brings is very enticing and should at least provide a floor to the offense at minimum, potentially a ceiling. I mean, you start saying he's reminded of Josh Allen last year if you want to get really optimistic, but I'm not going to go that far. And I am concerned that he's going to hold back all of these guys in a way that I can already see myself making excuses for.
Ben, on the previous show, or I should say last week's show, when we were talking about some of the disconcerting numbers for players when the offense had to really rely on them and the sack rate, the adjusted net yards per attempt that Russell Wilson was bringing to the table last year, his number's still far, far better than Will Levis, who was at 2.4 adjusted net yards per attempt on third down. To give you a little bit of a feel, that's almost a yard below Zach Wilson. It's a yard below Bryce Young. Again, I mean, he's going to get more chances. I hope that it works out for him. I mean, I love to see the competitiveness and how he plays, but both from a collegiate perspective and now in the little bit we've seen in the NFL, you're going to need to change. The profile has to become something dramatically different. So that'll do it for today's episode of Stealing Bananas. Again, we've had so much fun breaking down these free agent signings. Check out the previous episodes if you've enjoyed this one. definitely subscribe to Ben Gretsch at Yards Per Gretsch. And most importantly, in Stealing Signals, we've referenced the target per route run pieces. Those are out, and they will help you really set your 2024 summer strategy for the draft season. We'd also love to have you over at RotoViz. You can use the coupon code RVRadio2024 at checkout for a 10% discount on your one-year subscription. Leave us a rating and review. It helps us with the algorithm. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.